reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. We apologize, but we are experiencing technical difficulties at this time. We will try to have the problem rectified for you soon to rejoin Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are still having technical difficulties. It seems that demons jump into the system each day lately. But we're talking about a subject today that I believe we need to be aware of and we need to delve into and ascertain what is really taking place. We're talking about today chaos, confusion, calamity in the Christian life. Was the assassination attempt against Donald J. Trump planned, or was it an accident? Was it planned or was it an accident? Ladies and gentlemen, there is some good news out of that. By the way, the telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. There is some good news. The Secret Service Director Cheadle just resigned. I'm looking at the headline. Secret Service Director Cheadle resigns after mounting pressure in the wake of Trump assassination attempt. And it goes on to talk about her letter of resignation and why she resigned. And she, I don't think she had a choice, because it seemed that it was, as they called it in D.C., a bipartisan plan to get her to resign or to be fired. But ladies and gentlemen, was it a fiasco of a comedy of errors with happenstance, or is it something that was planned and orchestrated by the thugs with badges to eliminate Donald Trump? As I said before the news break, ladies and gentlemen, during the course of almost a decade, Donald Trump had been persecuted, prosecuted, and an attempt to destroy him financially, attempt to destroy him morally, ethically, an attempt to destroy him politically, to literally destroy his life. When all else failed, when nothing else was on the board that they, chessboard that they could play, when case after case after case with his lawfare, judges were canceling the case, judges were playing it down, or judges were basically putting off the case and or dropping charges. Then the only thing left as for Donald Trump, his life, only thing left, according to Tucker Carlson, was to simply assassinate him. That was the plan. That was the purpose, according to some. So my question is, when we find that the Thomas Matthew Crooks, the shooter, was on the roof of the building, and according to the actual dimensions and the structure of the site, he was about 130 yards, straight aim, straight shot, about 130 yards from Donald Trump where he was standing. And yet, that supposedly had been in the realm of the protected area, the circle of protection, the perimeter around which Trump would be speaking in. And yet almost an hour before Trump walked out to speak almost an hour. The people had seen a person walking around. The law enforcement agencies had seen a strange person walking around, as they say, with a backpack. And then crowds of people saw that strange person with the backpack climbing up a ladder, crawling on a roof with a long gun, as they called it. And yet when the law enforcement's attention was called to it, it apparently nothing was done. So what is the reason? What is the case behind it? What is the mindset? Was it simply accidental, or was there a nefarious purpose behind it? I'm looking at an article from Jordan Secular, the ACLJ. Says this: cataclysmic Secret Service leadership failure led to the near assassination of Donald Trump. Biden's Secret Service director now claims they didn't have agents on the building because it had a sloped roof. It is outrageous and completely unacceptable, Secular says. Further in Secular's article, Were resources diverted away from President Trump's detail? Why wasn't the building actually secured? Were warnings of a gunman on the roof ignored? How could this happen? And why isn't the head of the Secret Service coming clean about it? The Secret Service Director Cheadle and DHS Secretary Mayorkas must be held legally accountable for what took place. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you say held accountable, what does that mean? When we say they need to be held accountable for it, does that mean simply just being fired or resigning? What would the accountability really look like if, ladies and gentlemen, truth were to be brought to the forefront and the things carried out that I believe needs to be carried out and taken care of? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have more than just a fiasco of errors. I believe we have more than just a group that did not know what they were doing, like they used to call them Keystone Cops. I believe that there's a problem with the whole scenario that I can't put together and be satisfied that it's just something that happened. This article, I'm looking at the headline, Secret Service Director admits police were in the building from which the would-be assassin fired the shots. Now listen, at first Cheadle, the Secret Service Director, at first Cheadle said that the police officers, law enforcement, were staged out in the building next to the building that the shooter was on the top of. Now it's determined when she is under fire, when she is asked questions and challenged, now she changes the story, and the building that the law enforcement were staged in is the same building that the shooter was shooting from its roof. This article reads, Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle noted in July the 15th interview with ABC News that police were in the building from the top which the would-be assassin fired on Donald Trump. She told ABC News that the building on which the would-be assassin took his position was supposed to be secured by local law enforcement officers who were working with the Secret Service perimeter control. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen. They had the state patrol in there. They had the local law enforcement police officers in there. And they had the Secret Service officers. And, ladies and gentlemen, with the frequencies of their radio systems, it was an impossibility to have any dialogue and discussion with the transmission of information from one agency to the other. If, in fact, they tried to transmit that information, it would have been near an impossibility to do so. I'm looking at an article that says, Secret Service boss explains why no one was stationed on the roof where the gunman shot at Trump. And her excuse was that the building was too sloped and she didn't want to endanger her agents. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Let me ask you a question. Should we be concerned about this issue? Should Christians and conservatives take even a moment out of our busy day to concern ourselves with what's being done in the D.C. Beltway? Should we recognize it as something that others will handle and we need not worry about it? Or should we be, ladies and gentlemen, highly concerned with the outcome and what we see taking place? I'm looking at a headline, Secret Service Director refuses to say if Trump shooter acted alone. This article is dated July the 22nd. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle refused to say if the gunman who opened fire on the Trump rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, was acting alone. Senator Ron Johnson and other lawmakers say there are credible reports that the shooter was working with a second gunman. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Ron Johnson is not a dummy. We've got a number of wonderful senators that are looking into this, as well as the representatives, and they're not dummies. They're looking at it from the standpoint of what is taking place. Listen, when the shooter started firing, how many shots were fired? Some reports say five and some say eight. They had the shells, the cartridges, the empties on the roof. The Secret Service has gotten those, but they will not tell you how many. They will not admit how many shots were fired. The whole point being, ladies and gentlemen, had God not divinely intervened and had Donald Trump to turn his head to the right for just a nanosecond, that bullet would have pierced his brain and would have taken the back of his head off. His skull would have been blown out. But fortunately, because of God's divine intervention, as Trump himself said, as a result of that, his life is preserved. But, ladies and gentlemen, the Marxist Communist Democrats, using lawfare, using their accusations against Trump, listen, if for no other reason, this shooter had gotten so agitated with hearing the Marxist media claim that Trump was a danger to democracy, that Trump was going to be, if he ever got back in office, he would be a dictator and never leave office, that Trump was dangerous, a dangerous person, that he was as Hitler, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That could have placed in the mind of a deranged person to think that, well, I'm going to be the knight in shining armor, and I'm going to deliver America. Now, that could be the case. I don't know. But it seems to be pointing more and more each day that there's something more nefarious than a shooter simply deciding he's going to save America by shooting Donald J. Trump. But when the head of the Secret Service, as I read a moment ago, Secret Service Director admits police were in the building from which the would-be shooter, would-be assassin, fired the shots. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem when that is taking place in that fashion. It is ridiculous for the Secret Service Director to say that the roof was too slanted, too sloped, and she couldn't put her her marksman on the roof and had to put them someplace else, when in fact it was diametrically opposite to that kind of statement. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's simply a basic timeline. The Secret Service, led by Kimberly Cheatham, admitted under oath that they failed royally. Secondly, we know that the Secret Service knew about the about an hour, about 56 minutes before the shooter was that the shooter was on the ground and was really roaming around trying to get on the building. We know that at least 26 minutes before the Trump speech, that law enforcement were informed by the rally participants that a man with a long gun, a rifle, was on the roof of the building with a straight line shot to the place where Donald Trump would be standing. We know that the Secret Service team was not sufficient in number for a crowd about 50,000 people. Listen, they had planned, according to Cheadle's own testimony, they had planned for about 10 to 15,000 participants. So supposedly they set the number of agents based on that number. But ladies and gentlemen, there's about 50,000 people present. They had 22 agents, supposedly, 22 law enforcement agents, not just Secret Service, 22 total that were signed to that rally for Donald J. Trump. But, ladies and gentlemen, there's a nefarious thing, I believe, that took place because Jill Biden decided to show up about a 10-minute drive from Butler, Pennsylvania, where Trump's rally was, and also Kamala Harris was showing up at a different venue in the same basic area, and they drew off would-be agents for Donald Trump's rally to send to protect Jill Biden. Donald Trump's rally was formulated and set up and scheduled about 2 weeks in advance. The Jill Biden and Kamala Harris events were about 2 days scheduled out, and the Secret Service had to protect them. Was that accidental? Was that another fiasco of chaos, confusion, and calamity that was simply accidental, or was it orchestrated for a purpose? I'm asking a lot of questions. I don't have a full answer on that. Love to hear from you. The telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Here's an article that is bone-chilling. It says, President Trump says Secret Service did not warn me about a gunman any time before the assassination attempt. This article reads, in part, Trump survived an assassination attempt a week ago at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, where the gunman attempted to kill the former president with a rifle but narrowly missed, striking him in the ear. Another sub-headline, Homeland Security Committee chairman calls for Cheadle to resign for the good of the country. And, of course, she did go ahead and resign. But this is a 4- or 5-page article where Trump is saying that they did not inform him of any problem at all. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, with the Trump rally, some had said about 50,000. I believe others have said about 20,000. But it was far more, about double the number that was expected and that the Secret Service claimed that they had planned for. I'm looking at an article that the headline is from Mark Levine. Mark Levine lays out the facts about the Trump shooter. Levine, although disturbed by Trump's near assassination, wasn't shocked at the attempt on the former president's life. Quote, what do the media think is going to happen when they keep calling Donald Trump Hitler? When individual hosts are pathetically, egotistically say, I fear for the liberty, for my liberty if Trump is elected president. I fear that he will throw me into prison, one said. This is being quoted by Mark Levine. What he is shocked about, however, is the unbelievable circumstances surrounding the attempted assassination on Trump's life. How does this guy, who has not even spoken about the shooter, how does this guy who's not even a military, no military background, no law enforcement background, manage to get access to a building which is a staging ground for local police, special ops, carrying out something as big as a rifle, Mark Levine asked in his perplexity. How does he sit on the roof, then lie down, get in position, while the audience is screaming, he's got a gun, he's got a gun, he's got a gun, and nothing being done about it? Ladies and gentlemen, there's too many major staring, glaring problems with the fact that supposedly they did not see or know or anything was planned. Listen, what if this was planned? What if strategically they knew what they were doing? It was not just a bunch of errors. What if in their planning and preparation they baked in the cake this obvious person that now supposedly has a paper trail, a digital trail based on his telephone, that there was trips from his location based on the digital footprint from his location to D.C. 4 times. Was that the shooter? Was it somebody from his family? Did he meet with the FBI? Was the FBI involved in the planning, the preparation for the attempted assassination? Only God knows. But ladies and gentlemen, I think that there was a problem far deeper than we're made to believe even today. Look at another headline. How Democrats and major media continually encourage Trump's assassination. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are briefed by national security advisors and members of law enforcement agencies on the assassination attempt Saturday on former Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. This article goes further to say President Joe Biden, the Democratic Party, the national news media, and many social media influencers have since 2016 continually likened Donald Trump to a single most reviled human being in history, Adolf Hitler. Are they thereby complicit in the July the 13th assassination attempt on Donald Trump? After all, the most moral and righteous response to the real Hitler was to kill him, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that stage was set. I believe that is what was taking place. And as Donald Trump said himself, it's God alone that was responsible for saving my life. He goes on to say that God intervened and it was God's grace that saved his life. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at another headline. It's from the American Family Association. We were all shocked by the news of the assassination attempt of former Donald J. Trump. The bullet from a high-powered rifle nicked Trump's ear while he addressed the crowd at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. I firmly believe that God spared the life of the president. Many of my Christian colleagues share the same sentiment as was reported in the American Family News media. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that is so, but listen very carefully. Now, it's bad enough. I titled the theme today, and that theme is simply chaos, confusion, calamity, and the Christians. Was the assassination planned, or was it accidental? ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that we see a lot of things coming together simultaneously. Listen, on the heels of the attempted assassination, all of a sudden, Joe Biden, who had said that he would not step down, that he was not going to do so, he was going to stay in the race, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, even though cognitively he was unable to carry out the duties of a president, yet he determined and publicly said he was going to stay in the race. Then all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, almost simultaneous with Trump's attempted assassination, Joe Biden mysteriously gets COVID and is sequestered away in Delaware. And in his sequestration, he writes a letter supposedly from Biden himself stating that he is stepping out of the race and wanting Kamala Harris to be the presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party to run the race. Now listen, we're 3 weeks approximately away from their convention. We're approximately 90 days from the election. And now all of a sudden the players have changed. The players have changed. My question also to you, ladies and gentlemen, and that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Was this coincidental? That simultaneous with Donald Trump's attempted assassination, that Joe Biden decides he's going to get out of the race? Or does he see the handwriting on the wall that he cannot win, cannot beat Donald Trump? And so the kingmakers, the power brokers, removed Joe Biden, removed him, took him out of sight, put him in sequestration, put him in the basement again, if you please, under the guise that it was COVID, and yet at the same time they were pressuring him or paying him or providing a very healthy parachute for him to drop out. And then immediately Kamala Harris is supposed to be the presumptive candidate that will now be running as president. So my question is, ladies and gentlemen, can she legally do that? Can she legally take the approximately $300 million in the war chest and it become Kamala Harris' campaign war chest? Or does it have to go back to the donors? Or is it possible that it can be transferred to the Democratic National Committee? Then they can determine who gets it. Should the Democratic National Committee, in their convention coming up in about 3 weeks, should they have an open nomination? Should they have an open opportunity for others to get into the race? Would that be wise? Would that be the best? Would it be best for President Trump to run against Kamala Harris, which is a known fiasco, or someone that's unknown at this stage in the election process? That's a question that I believe begs to be asked and demands to be answered from the standpoint of the Christians, conservatives, and the patriots in America as to what would be best for our security for the future of securing our Bill of Rights. I'm looking at a headline, Joe Biden drops from the presidential race amid plummeting popularity, but he endorses Harris to succeed him. President Joe Biden dropped Sunday from the presidential race after a disastrous debate performance renewed concerns that he wasn't fit for another 4 years. He endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris to succeed him. Quote, "My very first decision as the party nominee in 2020 was to pick Kamala Harris as my vice president," Biden posted on social media. "And it's been my best decision I've made. Today, I want to offer my full support and endorsement for Kamala to be the nominee for our party for this election." I believe we have Bob on the line. Bob, go with the question or comment, please.
Yeah, Bob. I'm sorry, Dr. Youngblood. I got 3 points for you. I don't know if you've seen the water tower video where the man was on the water tower.
Yes.
And, okay, how about the FBI agent behind Trump that wasn't acted normally? And can we say JFK all over?
We could say JFK all over. We could say the Bay of Pigs all over with the promulgating factors prior to JFK's assassination. We could talk about Robert Kennedy's assassination. We could talk about the CIA and what they've done on a global basis of removing political leaders to put others in place as they desired to see. I think we're witnessing the thumbprint of the CIA. My personal opinion, we're witnessing the thumbprint of the CIA's involvement with what has recently taken place in this fiasco of the last 90 days in particular, the last 2 weeks in fact. My question is, do you think that Kamala Harris should be the presumed candidate for president Who will she appoint? Who will be her running mate? How will that go stack up from the standpoint? Listen, with the delegates that had already committed to Joe Biden, I think it's is inclusive about 12 to 14 million people that they represented, and all of a sudden they're going to have a slap in the face. I'm not for the Democrats, but I'm saying look at how they should feel about it. Look at those that have donated millions of dollars. How should they feel? Should that money be refunded, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? So my question, Bob, before I let you go, should we be satisfied to see this being played out, or should, as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, should we stand up, speak up, demand that there be a change, or should we just sit back and let the election take place?
Well, I personally believe that the only kind of governments to do stuff like this, appoint somebody, or dictators. And that's what they try to call us all these years.
That's right.
They didn't, they're putting a woman on a ticket, and she hasn't even been approved by all the Democrat voters. I'm not a Democrat, but she hasn't even been approved by them.
Well, so, she doesn't know how to do anything. She doesn't know how to do anything but laugh anyway. So it's the laughing stock of America, and I am saddened to see that. But it is not just an error. I believe it is all orchestrated and planned. Bob, we've got someone else on the line. So thank you so much for your call today. God bless you. Keep looking up. Derby's on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yeah. First of all, Biden doesn't have COVID. If he took the vaccine, he shouldn't get COVID again, which proves the vaccine is no good. Secondly, Mayorkas should resign. He is Cheadle's boss. And then I am all for Kamala being the nominee. She would be as easy to beat as Biden. That is, unless the Democrats cheat more than last time.
Well, it's not if they, you and I both know that they're going to cheat. It's just how extensive, because you already know that some, based on the statistical data, some 19 million illegal invaders in America, and they say that in the blue cities, some of the blue states, they've already got about 2 million of the illegal invaders that have already registered to vote. And so, Derby, the process and the prospect that I look at, if just 10% of the illegal 2 million that have registered to vote, if just 10% of them vote, that throws the election right there. We need to have rules, regulations, laws in place across the nation that will make it totally 100% illegal for an illegal to vote in this election. I believe unless we do that, we've lost the election, whoever's running. I'm not a doom and gloomist, but I'm concerned about the protection of our election. So, Derby, we need to keep praying, keep looking up. We need to recognize that these things we see taking place that are funneling down to the election, that we can still look forward to a planned pandemic before the election that will say that we can't vote in person. Derby, thank you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Fernandina Beach at 91.3. You are invited to participate in a broadcast ministry of First Conservative.